Welcome to the podcast of the City Club of Eugene, Oregon. The City Club builds community vision through open inquiry and is dedicated to enabling an informed public on a wide range of topics. Coming up in today's program.
First, the kicker's broken. Second, the kicker currently rewards the richest Oregonians and does little to address Oregon's greatest needs. And third, we put the kicker into the Constitution, and we can come together and chart a better path for our state.
And there's three big benefits to the kicker. One is it imposes fiscal discipline on the legislature. The second is that it creates incentives to accurately forecast revenues. And three is it recognizes that the money you earn belongs to you and not the government.
We appreciate the sponsors who make our civic work possible, including Kaiser Permanente, kp.org, Lane Community College, lanecc.edu, Peace Health, peacehealth.org, the University of Oregon, uoregon.edu, and generous support from Lane County and the City of Eugene. And here's today's program.
Welcome to City Club of Eugene's October 1st, 2021 program. Oregon's excess revenue, refund or reinvest? I'm Kitty Piercy and I'm the City Club president. Sponsor for the City Club is provided by our members and sponsors. You can become a member of the City Club at our website, cityclubofeugene.org. Our programs are always available on our YouTube channel and our Facebook page. We also have a podcast available, and programs are broadcast on public radio station KLCC 89.7 on Monday nights at 7. In today's program, we welcome Eric Fruits, Cascade Policy Institute, and Daniel Hauser, Oregon Center for Public Policy. Biographical information on our speakers is available on our website, cityclubofeugene.org. Oregon's excess revenue, refund or reinvest. In Oregon, when the actual tax revenue for a biennium exceeds the forecasted revenue by 2% or more, individual and corporate taxpayers get a rebate, which we call a kicker. The kicker policy was adopted by voters first in 1980, and then in 2000, it was placed in the state constitution. In 2012, after a few years of experience with the kicker, giving voters a chance to see its impact on state programs, a change was made. Now individual taxpayers get a check proportional to their tax liability, but corporate kicker rebates are deposited into the state's general fund and earmarked for K-12 education. In this program, two experts in tax policies and state economics will describe very different views of how well the kicker works and what it promotes or impedes in our community life. It's an important discussion.
While this might not be true for everyone listening, I absolutely love talking about tax policy and the kicker, and I suspect Eric and I will have a spirited discussion. My name is Daniel Hauser, and I serve as the Director of Strategic Policy Projects at the Oregon Center for Public Policy. The center is a nonprofit research organization focused on lifting the economic well-being of all Oregonians, and the kicker could potentially be a really significant tool to improve economic security. If you remember anything from my comments, I hope it's these three facts. First, the kicker's broken. Second, the kicker currently rewards the richest Oregonians and does little to address Oregon's greatest needs. And third, we put the kicker into the Constitution, and we can come together and chart a better path for our state. We also need to keep in mind the context that surrounds the newest kicker. Our state and our neighbors face huge challenges. The climate's changing, leaving communities in flames, breaking temperature records, and Oregon's most underserved residents are particularly vulnerable. Many Oregonians are unable to afford housing, childcare, or even their next meal. The Oregon Department of Education found more than 21,000 Oregon students were homeless or faced housing insecurity, including more than 700 in the Eugene School District and nearly 500 in Springfield. A recent census survey estimated that a quarter of Oregonians have difficulty covering their usual household expenses, more than 100,000 Oregonians are behind on rent, and nearly 200,000 Oregonians don't consistently have enough to eat. Meanwhile, the rich keep getting richer, with income inequality nearing record highs every year in Oregon. In 2019, the last year that I have data for, Oregon's richest 1% earned significantly more than the entire bottom half of Oregonians combined. And it wasn't even close. The gap was by more than $1 billion, the top out-earned the bottom half of Oregonians. And since the pandemic struck, our nation's billionaires have added more than $1 trillion in wealth. Clearly, the yawning divide between those who are struggling and the richest continues to grow. And the kicker could be part of the solution, but instead it only makes it worse. And the kicker asks the impossible of our state economists. To reach a state general fund forecast, they must consider and guess what the global economy, the national economy, and Oregon's own sliver of it will do in 2 years. Then they need to translate that into precise estimates of how much wages each Oregonian will earn, how much profits businesses will claim, how many people will sell their homes, stocks, or other assets, and how much the value is of those homes by then, and how many rich people will die and end up owing Oregon's estate tax, and more. Of course, they'll also need to be able to predict the exact timing of the next global pandemic, too. And if, after all of that, they miss by just 2.1%, the entire 2.1% is sent back to taxpayers in the kicker. And it's not just the 0.1% they were over by. It's a broken, impossible task that we ask the state economists to do every 2 years. And they haven't been able to do it for the past 3 budgets, and they've missed most of the time since 1980. And to be clear, they do better than I or almost anyone could. The kicker is just a completely broken policy. And the impossibility of the kicker isn't the only fatal flaw. What we do with the billions of dollars that get kicked back is also fundamentally broken. Instead of routing that big sum to important needs, such as affordable housing or childcare or rebuilding communities that have burnt down, we send it back out to Oregonians. Now, this is an opportunity, right? We could send it out to the people in our communities who are in the greatest need, such as folks living in poverty. But that's not what we do. Instead, we send out a token amount. It's expected to be about $30 next year to the lowest income 1 in 5 Oregonians. What do we do with the remaining hundreds of millions of dollars? We route them disproportionately to the richest Oregonians. The state economists estimated that the average member of the top 1%, these are folks who earn more than $440,000 in a single year, will get an average kicker of nearly $17,000. That's more than a quarter of Oregonians earn in the entire year. Even worse, some of the very richest Oregonians will see kickers topping $100,000. Which is more than 80% of Oregonians earn in an entire year. The way the kicker distributes these impossible dollars is broken too. It rewards those with the very most more than those with the least. Now, the fact the kicker is impossible and inequitable doesn't mean it can't be fixed. We put the kicker into the Constitution and we can fix it. Well, I'd be happy for us to just cut the kicker out. There are plenty of other options for us to consider. We could put the kicker into the state's rainy day fund or education stability fund to better prepare Oregon for deep recessions like we faced just a little over a decade ago. We can invest it to prepare our communities for the impacts of climate change or the Cascadia subduction zone earthquake. We could spend it in our communities, invest it now on important needs like helping first-time homebuyers access affordable homes or help, get folks in stable housing and up off the streets. We could make a dramatic investment in our childcare systems. We could still kick the kicker out to Oregonians, but change how much each person receives. Perhaps everyone gets the same kicker amount rather than the rich getting the largest. Or maybe we flip it, right? And the rich get the smallest and low-income families get the biggest kicker. There are just so many better ways we could spend $1.9 billion to address Oregon's needs. It's been 2 decades since we put the kicker into the Constitution. It's time for Oregonians to come together and decide if there is a better and more equitable path for our communities. With that, I'll remind you of the 3 things I suggested you remember at the onset. 1, the kicker's broken. 2, the kicker flows to the richest more than those in the greatest need. And 3, we can come together and we can fix the kicker. Now you'll hear from Eric Fruits, who I suspect might not agree with everything I said, but I'll let him tell you. Eric?
Thank you, Daniel. I'm Eric Fruits, Vice President of Research at Cascade Policy Institute. We are Oregon's free market public policy research institute. We are a nonpartisan nonprofit, and we don't solicit or accept any money from any government agency. We are recording this on a Tuesday, and it is pouring rain. It's a pretty dreary day. So on a dreary day like this, you just kind of have to step back and admire a thing of beauty. And the kicker happens to be a true thing of beauty. And there's three big benefits to the kicker. One is it imposes fiscal discipline on the legislature. The second is that it creates incentives to accurately forecast revenues. And three is it recognizes that the money you earn belongs to you and not the government. Now, left on its own, without any restrictions, our Oregon legislature will spend every dollar it can extract from Oregon citizens and businesses. And if that's not enough, it'll raise taxes to spend even more. Just look at this last legislative session. It was a spending blowout. They had so much money that they literally did not know what to do with it. House Bill 5006 handed out more than $200 million to legislators to fund their own pet causes with almost zero legislative scrutiny. They literally didn't know how to spend the money, so they just handed it out. In Oregon, our legislative budgets are not made on the basis of what we need or what is necessary. The way the budget process works in Oregon is that the bureaucrats start with what they call the current service level based on the previous budget. From there, then they expand existing programs and add new programs to inflate the budget. This creates a tax ratchet. You add and expand programs in good times. Then, when the bad times hit, you recast these programs as vital services and you raise taxes to fund those. When the good times return, somehow the taxes stay with us. You repeat this ratchet effect over a few decades and the taxes keep going up and up and up. This method over the last 10 years has produced budgets that have increased at 3 times the rate of inflation and double the rate of inflation plus population growth. This could all be worse if it weren't for the kicker. The kicker was adopted because Oregonians in the late 1970s faced the same problems we face today. While they didn't have a pandemic, they had double-digit inflation and high unemployment. They also faced a state government with an unending appetite for more money. Put simply, their earnings couldn't keep up with their tax bills, just like our earnings can't keep up with ours. And from there, the kicker was born. First, it was passed by the legislature. It was so popular that it was approved by voters by more than 90%. Then they liked it so much that they voted in favor of it again to enshrine it in the state constitution by more than 60% of the vote. Our legislator's budget is based on a forecast of revenues prepared by economists employed by the state. The legislature then takes that forecast of revenues and tries to budget around that. The kicker requires that once the legislature adopts a budget, any money collected from the income taxes beyond what's needed in that 2% is then returned to taxpayers. It's a sensible protection and one of the few disciplines we had to mitigate against the spend everything philosophy that afflicts politicians on both sides of the aisle. It truly is a thing of beauty. It also creates an incentive for our state's economists to create accurate forecasts. On the one hand, if they project that the state's going to bring in too much money, in other words, they overinflate how much money will be brought in, then the legislators will come in and read them the Riot Act. Legislators hate to be given bad information, especially if that information says that they're going to bring in more money than they actually do. And if you see times where the state economists have overinflated how much the state will bring in, the legislators go ballistic. They take those economists to the woodshed. On the other end, one way you could think, well, gee, the economists could really make their lives easier if they always lowball the estimate. Well, the problem with lowballing the estimate is that will bring in the kicker. And the only thing that legislators hate more than not having enough money is having to pay out a kicker. These two tensions create a huge incentive for the state's economists to try as hard as they can to get it right. Now, I'm an economist myself, and so I've done forecasts, and forecasting is hard, and it's very hard to get it right. But when you have an incentive to try to get it right, you will do what you can to get it right. The other thing that you have to recognize is that our income taxes are based on our income. Our income belongs to us, and the government must get permission to spend more than they need. It's basic economic justice, and the kicker embodies that economic justice. It says that if you earn a windfall, or if you are making more money because you're working overtime or taking on a second job, And that helps goose your own income as well as the state's income. The state can't just swoop in and say, oh, gee, thanks, I'll take some of that too. If the state wants to spend more money than they have budgeted originally, then they have to ask you for that money. That, to me, is true economic justice. Daniel brought up some points. One was in saying that we could establish a rainy day fund. We did try that. We tried a rainy day fund with the kicker money. And it turns out that the legislators, they passed it. But it turns out that the people of all, the voters actually didn't like it because they passed a ballot measure that took that money for the rainy day fund and instead put it into the general fund to be earmarked for education. I personally am a big fan of rainy day funds, but the legislature can always create a rainy day fund anytime it wants to using the money it is raised. It doesn't need to rely on a kicker or any sort of windfall to generate that rainy day fund. There's this also this issue where we keep focusing on the 1%. It's easy to hate the 1%. Why? Well, one, they're rich, and the other is they're 1%. When 99% of the population turns against the 1%, that 1% can be pretty lonely. The top line number are saying that the top 1% may get a kicker refund of about $17,000. That's an eye-popping number. But you have to remember that top 1% on average is paying about $90,000 a year in income taxes to the state of Oregon. $90,000, roughly double what the median family income is for the state. There is some fundamental sense of economic justice that says that the people who pay more in taxes should get a larger refund on their taxes. Now, we could quibble about how that money is handed out. Maybe the top 1% shouldn't get a bigger refund. Maybe we should equalize it. To be honest, I haven't really thought about it, but to me, that's not what's important. What's really important about the kicker is the discipline it imposes on our legislature to make sure that they spend only the money that they have budgeted and don't use any windfalls to ratchet up spending and put us on the hook for more taxes when the economy turns down. I'm sure Daniel has a response, and so I will pass it back to Daniel Hauser.
Thanks, Eric. So one piece of context that I think I failed to mention before was when we look at Oregon's tax system, right? When we look really across the board at our personal income tax, sure, but also our taxes on property, on tobacco, gas taxes, all the whole suite of state and local taxes, what analysts nationally have found when looking at Oregon is that Oregonians who are the very poorest, the bottom 1 in 5 Oregonians, pay a larger share of their income than the richest 1% or richest 20% pay in their income as a share of their income in taxes in Oregon, right? So when we really hone in and look at just the kicker, just this narrow policy, and we think about, oh, the top 1% are paying so much, if what we're looking for is a tax system that really embodies economic justice, we should be looking at one where the lowest income Oregonians are paying a smaller share of their income than the rich, not a larger share. And when we then think about the kicker, I mean, we realize, and I appreciate, Eric, your openness to considering other alternatives to the current distribution. I think that, that being one of my main points, that we need to come together and have a conversation about that, right? And figure out what is it that we think will do a better job of advancing Oregonians' interests. But what we have right now is terribly designed. I mean, it's just an incredibly ineffective means of actually helping the families struggling to survive. So as I mentioned before, some Oregonians have been $100,000 kicker or more. These are the richest Oregonians by rule, as Eric explained. And they're going to be able to use that money for really important things, like perhaps, buying a third home in Hawaii, or perhaps, they'll be able to do some really wonderful things for the local economy by buying a, third Tesla. But our state and our neighbors face huge challenges, right? People are struggling to survive. And we should not have a policy on the books that's routing so much money to those who really don't need it. So the bottom struggles to survive, the top buys new toys or makes more on the stock market, and Oregon's answer is just to send bigger checks to the rich than the poor. And I don't tend to believe that that's a true economic justice, to borrow your term. I think there's a solution to this, though. We can achieve true economic justice, right? Let's fix the kicker, right? We can debate the right solution. We can, talk about the many, many different ways we can do a better job, but it's time to turn this broken tax break into a force for good, right? Imagine what a difference we could do with $1.9 billion in our community.
And Eric, I suspect that prompted additional thoughts from you, so I'll kick it back to you.
Of course, of course. Thank you, Daniel. This is Eric Frutz again. You know, one of the things that I find troubling as a free market economist is this idea that somehow or another I or Daniel or anyone else has a much better idea of how someone should spend their money, that somehow or another buying a Tesla is a terrible waste of money. It's such a terrible waste of money, in fact, that the state legislature gives you a tax credit to buy one. You know, I don't want to judge how someone spends their money. If they want to put their money in the stock market, that should be applauded, because that isn't just gambling. That is investing. That is making an investment in yourself and in the broader economy. I don't want to judge people for how they use their kicker. And the thing is, if you don't like getting your kicker, you can do something else with it. You can donate it to charity. In fact, we had a process before where you could sign over your kicker to the state school fund. Last time I checked, there was a grand total of less than $500,000 in that account. Even the people who say that they are so generous with their kicker money turn out to be not so generous after all. Again, I don't want to get in a position where I have to judge how someone else is using their money or spending their money. And I think it's inappropriate and just downright wrong to judge someone on how they use the resources that they earned.
If you enjoyed this presentation by the City Club of Eugene, please visit our website at cityclubofeugene.org or our YouTube channel and our social media pages.